The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so welcome to Happy Hour. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark, and I teach Happy Hour here with Nikki Mercafori, and we alternate. Clearly tonight is my night to be here. I think next week will be Nikki. And tonight I want to just say a few words about perfectionism. This wish, this desire for things to be just right, flawless, you know, this perfect. It can be like an approach or an attitude that we take to so many things that we do, or even about ourselves. And it often entails this striving, like everything has to be better, or somehow become more perfect, having really high standards for ourselves and for others, and for perhaps everything. But what goes hand in hand with that, of course, are critical self-evaluations. We're often thinking like, oh, this isn't good enough. That's not good enough. I'm not good enough. And it may be so familiar that we don't even notice it. We may be doing it so often that sometimes it just seems like the normal way things are. We don't even recognize that this is a view, this is a framework, a perspective in which we're using, and it can be put down. We don't have to always be looking at our experiences and ourselves with this framework of perfectionism. When we have this idea, this concept, this belief that things should be somehow perfect, we end up fragmenting our lives. We end up fragmenting our experience. This is okay, that's not okay. This is good, that's not good. Or this is good, that's bad. Or maybe this is perfect, this is flawed. We can do this with different aspects of ourselves, different aspects of our experience, maybe different aspects of our relationships we have with each other. Can be a way in which we kind of like, maybe in a not so, we're not so aware that we're doing this, but creating two lumps, you know, this is okay, that's not okay. And with this fragmentation, there's a certain amount of agitation that arises. It's maybe a quiet, subtle agitation, but it isn't soothing. It isn't peaceful. It doesn't have the feeling of freedom when we are maintaining these two separate piles, these two separate categories of objects, aspects of ourselves, other people, parts of our experiences. And so meditation practice is about the opposite of fragmentation. Meditation practice, whether it's mindfulness or loving kindness, both of these practices are about supporting wholeness, completeness, about inviting in instead of trying to push away or disown parts of it. It's about allowing everything, like, yes, this too can come in. This too is welcome to be part of the whatever's happening. So rather than trying to disown parts of ourselves or parts of our experience, loving kindness practice and mindfulness practice, both of them, help us to have an ability to enter all the compartments of our life, to feel every feeling, to live in all parts of our body, and to know some true freedom by when we stop pushing things away and allowing them to be. So, in some way, this is it's not that we don't recognize that things are more match the preferences that we have or more match the ideas that we have. It's that we stop making it being such a problem when they don't match. I'm going to turn up the volume here so we can hear what I'm saying while they're making this delivery. See if this is a little bit better. So I'm not saying that mindfulness practice or loving kindness practice makes everything perfect, or that somehow we just ignore or pretend that all these things that are, you know, not that could be better, let's say that. What I'm saying is that we invite them in. We love them. We take care of them. We have a warm attitude towards them. We turn towards them and don't ignore them. We recognize them for what they are, but we stop them from being such a problem. We take away some of the energy away from having to fix or change or make. Instead, we're creating the conditions in which we can allow them to be what they are. And then something beautiful can happen when we have turned towards and allow things to be. Then they can shift and transform in a way that, if we were really tangled up with them, doesn't allow them to shift and transform. So with loving kindness practice and with mindfulness practice, we might have this saying that goes something like this. You're not okay. I'm not okay. And that's okay. This feeling, right, of like, that's okay. It's okay. We don't have to demand that all our experiences, all the corners of our life, all the compartments, quote unquote, that have to be different than how they are. So this perfection, this purity, this flawlessness that we long for, that we're looking for, is not found in perfecting the world. It's not found in perfecting ourselves. This beauty, this perfection that we're looking for, that we yearn for, it's found in the heart. It's found in a heart that can touch all things, in a heart that can embrace all things, in a heart that can acknowledge all things, enfold all things, and hold them with warmth and with care. That's where the beauty, the perfection, the grace is in this heart that can acknowledge what's actually happening and have an attitude of warmth, an attitude of care, an attitude of respect, honor. So instead of having to look out there and make things be perfect, look in here and make things be perfect, it's about opening the heart. And of course, loving kindness practice is a great practice which can help us with this, with opening the heart. We practice in one particular domain. We start where it's easiest. I always like to say this. But you'll be amazed how this just leaks out and starts to affect so many other areas of our experience. Not just this particular area where we're practicing. So with loving kindness practice, there are three elements. For those of you who have been here before, know this. Maybe some of you could even sit up here and give this talk yourselves. The first element is to bring to mind someone or somebody for whom we'd like to cultivate loving kindness, develop loving kindness. And as I said, we start where it's easiest. So that's often someone for whom we feel just naturally a lot of warmth, care, respect, love. In the classic Buddhist teachings, they call this person the benefactor, somebody who has supported us in our spiritual practice, supported us in a way that's really made a difference in our lives. If there isn't a person that comes to mind readily or feels a little bit too complicated, then a lot of people also use just lovable creatures, lovable beings, kittens, babies, puppies, squirrels. I don't know. These days I'm looking at squirrels. I don't know. They're big fluffy tails jumping around. I don't know why. I just find delight in them. So that's the first element, is to bring to mind a lovable being. The second element is to use the sensations, the experience of being in the body. The mind and the body, of course, are connected, and we can use them to support each other. So it might be, might not be too, but it might be that with loving kindness practice, there's a feeling of openness, warmth, space, gentleness. Some people feel it in the heart center, some people feel it in the belly. Might be really subtle, it might be obvious. And that's the second element. And then the third element are the phrases that I'm going to lead us in. You can repeat these silently in your mind. And these phrases are a way to kind of remind the mind that what we're doing right now is cultivating loving kindness. It's a way for us to keep on returning to our intention to be opening and softening the heart. And again, just because we're creating these intentions doesn't mean, in fact, that loving kindness is going to arise. But I think perhaps some of you in this room have had this experience. Even if there isn't anything in particular that happens during meditation, this is something that follows us around off the cushion, so to speak, outside of our meditation practice. It can be a great benefit. Independent of what exactly happens during meditation, it's our setting that intention over and over again that really helps create the conditions for loving kindness. Okay, so I'm going to lead us in a guided meditation. And as I said earlier, there's going to be a certain amount of noise. So when you hear the noise, maybe just open your heart and wish the people that are making noise, may they have warmth and care, safety, health. And we'll just include them in, right? The conditions don't have to be perfect. Perfection is about kind of opening our heart. So we'll invite the sound and the sound makers into our meditation here. So with that as an introduction, let's take an alert, upright posture. It can be helpful to begin to take three long, slow, deep breaths in a way that feels nourishing, supportive, maybe even relaxing. Sometimes with the longer exhale, there can be a letting go of some tension or some tightness. Can be supportive for loving kindness practice to have a certain amount of ease in the body. We're not looking for it to be perfectly easeful, that may be a very high bar, but to just as much as reasonable, as much as can be expected, to take a posture, to sit in a way which has both alertness and easefulness. And we can offer our awareness to different parts of the body as a support for finding ease. Maybe we'll start with the forehead. And the eyes, the area around the eyes. And the area around the jaw. These are common places for there to be some tightness or some tension. Can bring our awareness to sensations in the neck and in the shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. Checking in with the chest, the area, the heart center. And see if there can be just a little bit more opening, relaxing. It might be just a small, tiny movement to have some brightness in that area of the body. And with the belly, allowing some softness, some openness, some warmth in the belly, another place we often hold tension. And the upper back, and the lower back. And to feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body, allowing yourself to feel supported, grounded, connected. We can bring our attention to the legs. And to the feet, another place we can feel grounded, connected. The arms and the hands. We can bring our attention to what the hands are touching. Might be warm, cool, smooth, rough. We might even feel like inside the hands or the experience of the hands, maybe there's tingling, throbbing. Maybe nothing in particular. It's all okay. Then we'll do a little bit of mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. That is, you can rest your attention on the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest or the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. Whichever is most vivid, most accessible, most supportive. Just choose one of those areas and hang out there. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just resting our attention on the sensations of breathing. So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, can be a place to return to, can be a place to rest, can be a place to hang out. If ever loving kindness practice feels like overwhelming or somehow doesn't feel like it's the right practice, you can use this practice to feel grounded and maybe supported in a different way, and to begin loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being. As I said earlier, someone for whom it's easy to feel warmth and care, love, kindness, goodwill. Might check in with the body. When you bring this lovable being to mind, is there a soft opening, a feeling of warmth, an inner smile, maybe a little quiet sense of delight that may or may not be there? It's perfectly fine. And then to support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, you can repeat the phrases silently in your mind after me, keeping in mind this lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And check in with the body. And if there is any feeling of warmth or spaciousness, some ease, even if it's only a little corner of your experience, see if you can allow that sensation, that experience to support you. And perhaps even get as big as it would like. We're not forcing anything, we're not making anything, we're not creating, manufacturing, manipulating. We're just allowing. And then again, bring into mind the lovable being. We'll continue with the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now we can build on this foundation that we've built of loving kindness and expand the arena, expand the sphere of loving kindness to include ourselves. Loving kindness for ourselves as well as for lovable being. Using the softness, warmth, gentleness that we've cultivated, the lovable being, can we extend that to ourselves? In the same way, bring ourselves to mind, either an image of ourselves as we are today, maybe a younger version, whatever you'd like, or if it's easier, just a felt sense of what it's like to be sitting here and now. Again, you can check in with the body and see if there's been any shift, any alteration. Now that we're changing the individual, that we're extending loving kindness. Then we'll just change the pronoun on the phrases. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, if there's any feelings of well-being, warmth, spaciousness in the body, And allow that to get as big as it would like. And see if it can support the mind, the softening, the opening of the mind. There might not be any particular sensations, and that's perfectly fine. And to support our loving-kindness practice, it can be helpful to do some equanimity practice. That is, to help us not lean into too much trying to make others safe and happy. For this practice, bring to mind somebody for whom you have warmth and care towards, but is mildly annoying, mildly irritating, mildly little rough spots. Not the most difficult person, just somebody who sometimes is just, it's a little bit of friction. Bring this person to mind. And then the phrase that we use for equanimity practice is different. It goes like this. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, but I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. in these last minutes of the meditation, you might see if there's a practice that feels like the right practice for you now. Whether it's loving kindness for a lovable being or for yourself, continuing with equanimity practice, or maybe even mindfulness. Whichever practice feels like the right one to do now. And then to end this meditation, you can feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So, in the introduction, I talked a little bit about perfectionism, how it often leads to us kind of like fragmenting or bifurcating all of our experiences into that which is desirable and that which is not desirable. But with this practice, loving kindness practice, is about just all aspects of ourselves, all aspects of other. We just send loving kindness. Instead of waiting for perfection, trying to create perfection, which just creates more and more agitation. I'm not saying that we have to accept everything, especially all these terrible injustices in the world. I'm saying that we can turn towards them without trying to disown them or make them other. We can bring some open-heartedness and allow our best wisdom to arise from that place in which we can respond to what's happening. So maybe I'll open it up to see if there are any questions or comments. We'll do this for a little bit and then maybe have some more discussion. Does anybody have something they'd like to share about how that practice was? How was it to have all the noise in the beginning? And then to have it get quiet. It was really quiet in here afterwards. What was it like to do loving kindness for a lovable being, the self, and then some equanimity practice? Any comments or questions? Yeah, can we use the microphone so that all of us can hear? And if you could say your name too, that'd be great.
I'm Laura.
Hi, Laura.
And it was interesting that the noise, it didn't bother me. It didn't displace anything that goes on for me during this time. And
fantastic. Happy to hear this. Sometimes we can have this, adopt this idea that, you know, the conditions have to be just right in order for us to settle down, but clearly that's not the case. Fantastic. Thank you, Laura. It's okay, too, if you were annoyed, like, gee, when are they going to finish?
I'm Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
And I really appreciated you welcoming the people making the noise into our meditation and our thoughts. That was really lovely to turn that around. Thank you. And like such a nice example of what we're doing, of opening our hearts.
Yeah.
And so then when I'd hear noise, I'd be like, oh, right, they're out there. I hope they're okay. That was really nice. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Can you grab this microphone here? Thank you. And you'll have to turn it on. Can you say your name?
My name's Hilda.
Hilda?
Hilda, without the H.
Hilda.
Yes.
Nice. Welcome, Hilda.
I noticed that it's really easy for me to show loving kindness to animals and plants. And for humans, I tend to struggle a bit, and my judgment really kind of gets in the way. So it's really interesting when I just want to focus and share loving kindness, it's so much easier for it not to be a human.
Yeah, we start where we are, and if that's where you are, that's what makes sense, that's what's accessible, that's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. You may stay there for decades, just animals and plants, and then you may find, oh, wait, there's a leaks out of you in different ways. That's perfectly fine. Thank you, Hilda. So maybe we'll take some of the pressure off of having a microphone, then you guys can talk amongst yourselves and discuss any questions you have about this, any observations you have. Do you also have a mindfulness practice and a loving kindness practice? How do you practice with them together? Or maybe just to share what it was like tonight or whatever you'd like. So just ask that you don't give each other advice. People don't often want to hear advice when they come here. But it's also having to sometimes speak is a way in which we organize our thoughts and realize, oh yeah, what was that experience? Or what was paramount? Or what was meaningful from that? Sometimes it's really helpful for us to do that. So if you wanted to get into groups of three, I didn't count it, three or four or two. And we'll just have a few minutes we can just share with one another. Thanks. So finishing up. You can thank your partners. And then we have maybe 1 minute. If somebody has a comment, what was that like to meet with others, to talk about your experience, to share a little bit about how that was? So probably a microphone somewhere. There we go. Judy, you look like you're about to say something, but... Maybe.
I just was thinking how it frequently happens that our ideas overlap. You know, they're not the same thing. They're different aspects of the same thing. That keeps happening. That
happens. It's quite something, right? When we have these conversations, we realize two things. Either, oh, I'm not so different after all. And, like, oh, that's such a great idea. I'd never really thought about it that way. It can be such a rich practice. It's really important, right, to have practice in community can really make a big difference. It's been very meaningful for me to practice in community. Okay, well, it's been a delight to be sitting here with you all this evening. And I wish you all safety, happiness, health, and living with ease. Thank you.